In fact, turn in your Bibles, if you won't, to Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21, our Father and our God, we thank you, Lord, again for the privilege, the opportunity, and the honor of teaching and preaching your word. Thank you, Father, for the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. This evening, the Lord's going to do a little analysis. And since you like so much to sleep during the service, we might as well just get you in the mood. Maybe if we could change the pews for couches, and I'll grow a beard, and we'll just all get with the program, and we'll still do the analysis, though. Proverbs 21:8. The way of man is froward and strange. Not froward or strange, but froward and strange. You will find that the word man means mortals, people, persons. So there's no escape for all of us in here. Our way is froward and strange. It doesn't say the way of non-Christians, the way of non-churchgoers, the way of non-talented, the way of non-educated. It says the way of man. So this is God speaking, saying that every man's ways are froward and strange. The two go hand in hand. But as for the pure, his work is right. Let's read that, though, the way that it's actually written. If you have a King James Bible, you will see that there are several words in that scripture that are italicized. The is before froward, the as for the pure, and the is in front of right, which means those words were not in the original writings. And when I see them, unless it makes a grammatical difference, I always leave them out. Because we read it the way it's translated, it says the way of man is froward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right, which implies or infers that all men are froward and strange, but somebody is pure. Well, now, if all men are froward and strange, if all their ways are froward and strange, who does that leave to be pure? So we better read it the way that it's written. The way of man, froward and strange, but the pure, his work right. Makes a difference, doesn't it? So you see, it can be the same person that way, isn't it? Now, that tells you if yours works right, you're pure. If yours doesn't work right, it's because your ways are froward and strange. The only way in a grammatical sense that you can make any sense of application of that scripture, or we'll have to wait for extraterrestrials to come along to fit that category of the pure, because we all can't be the man spoken of there and then still have some room for others to be pure. So the reality of it is the way of man, froward and strange, but the pure, his work right. His, of course, being everything. Your body, your parts, everything, your marriage. And be honest now, all of yours doesn't work right. As a matter of fact, if the truth were known, you're sadly in need of a Mako. You got a lot of rebuilding to do. Now let's find out what the real problem is, and then we'll divide this scripture. We go to verse 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Which in a sense essentially says that everybody that has authority on this earth, that person's heart is in God's hands, and God turns it wherever he wants to turn it. So what does that mean? We should appeal to God, not to circumstances and not to people. So that ought to tell you how to quit moaning and groaning and complaining about all these people that you're blaming for everything that's wrong in your life. Because everybody's heart, everyone who has authority, their heart is in the hand of the Lord. So see, right away, that takes away all of your excuses for criticizing one another. Every way, verse 2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, and no one knows that better than I, because of all the things that I've talked to all of you about all of these years, I've never heard of one of you starting out saying that you are anything but right. Even though everything was wrong, you were right. So every way of a man is right in his own eyes. That's how you justify everything. Now, this is really saying is, this is how your mind works. This is the person that you're trusting with your health. You trust with your business. You trust with your marriage. You trust with everything. This is the individual that you put your trust in. In fact, all of you are here tonight to judge whether I'm going to say anything that's right. See, you're not here to say, well, let me find out what's wrong. You're here to say, I believe that or I don't believe that. I like that or I don't like that. Now, I'm just trying to tell you what kind of a mind you're trusting. Verse 3, to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. In other words, to the Lord, it's more important that you judge right, that you understand what's right and what's wrong, and quit lying about it. If you want to do wrong, do it. For God's sake, don't call it right. And don't call it nothing. It is something. It is either right or it is wrong. Verse 4, an high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Nowhere in there does it say anything about cussing, cheating, lying, and stealing. It's the high look, the proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked. That's sin. Verse 5, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. All of you that are quick to judge, quick to get angry, quick to make decisions, and don't lie, because all the calls that I get, 99.9% are the calls that I get, are what to do about something you've already done, that it's too late to do anything about it now, except learn from it and hopefully not do it again. Why? Because you are only hasty. And everyone that is hasty, the thoughts of the hasty are only to want. In other words, you will never come out right when you make a hasty decision. And the way to make a hasty decision is not to make a quick one. It's to make one that leaves the Lord out, that leaves truth out. I didn't say leave me out. You see, 90% of your decisions, you already know what's right and what's wrong. But you don't consider the Lord as you're making the decision. You only consider him afterwards, when it's too late, after you've done it. Verse 6, the getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. In other words, don't lie, is basically what it's saying. Because for everyone that lies, you're seeking death. You're seeking the death of whatever you're lying about. Verse 7, the robbery of the wicked shall destroy them because they refuse to do judgment. Now let's find out, how does this all happen? Who is this person that you love so much, that you trust so much with your life, with everything? You're going to find out in a minute. It isn't really you. It's a wrong person inside of you. There's a wrong person inside of you. And this person and you are committing spiritual adultery. You are part of the wife of Jesus Christ. So every time you let lies, anger, judgment, criticism, exercise, use your body, you are committing the sin of adultery with a demon spirit. Now I know that you understand when you do something right, that's the Holy Spirit of God inside of you doing something right. Well then it follows logically when you do something wrong, when you lie, when you do something you know is wrong, then it isn't you. Somebody used your body to do something wrong. And you're going to find out that's what God was talking about when he said, thou shalt not commit adultery. And I'll show you who this adulterous individual that you have living inside of you. And then at the same time, you try to have a relationship with your husband and or wife and your Lord, when this other person, this date that you have, this other love, if you will, who the only time you put him aside is when we're in church. Every other time, don't lie. You make your decisions excluding the truth. How else could you make wrong decisions? And don't tell me you don't make wrong decisions. So now we look up the way of a man. Way means the course of life or the mode of action. Your custom, your manner, your habits, your conversation. Which really this is saying the way you live, the way your habits are, the way you talk, your manners, your customs are froward and strange. not one or the other, but both. And you will see that froward is what opens the door for strange. Man means a male person. The women right away sharpen their elbows. Wait a minute. It also means people in general, any person in particular, or even any mortal. So you subhuman people in here would even qualify there, because you obviously are mortal, because you are not immortal yet. So it says everybody's ways, everybody's customs, everybody's conversation, everybody's manner, everybody's way of living is froward and strange. This is just trying to tell you, is this the person that you really want to trust your life to? I am finally starting to realize why all your children are so rebellious. I'm finally starting to realize why your children, who are still perfect in terms of spirituality, have such a hard time following you. Spiritually, they know you're leading them the wrong way. And then we try to quote and say, don't break their spirit by making them do right. No, you're not breaking their spirit by making them do right. You're breaking their spirit by making them do wrong. So the way of man is froward. Froward means very, very, very perverse. Perverse means deviating from what is considered right and wrong. In other words, man will make a decision and deviate from the decision they made. Then God will make a decision and they'll agree with God and they'll deviate from the decision they made. And then Satan will come along and say, smoke, drink, do whatever. I remember I'd go out, I'd get drunk, I'd party, then I'd come home and I'd deviate from my own decision. I'd say, I'm never going to do that again. So see, and then I'd go to church and I'd say, I'm never going to do that again. And then I'd go out and I'd say, I'm never going to do that again. And just back and forth, wherever I happen to be with. If you can't be with the one you love, then love the one you're with. There's a lot to that song. You're going to see a minute. In a minute, just how bad our condition is. And it isn't that we got worse. This is what happened at Eden. This is what happened in the garden. This is what you're trying to make work with the truth. You're very perverse. Perverse means persisting in error and fault, stubbornly contrary, obstinately disobedient and difficult, characterized by contrariness. This is the kind of individual, if you want them to get them to do this, tell them to do that. Now, they're not going to do that, so they'll end up doing this. So in order to get them to do this, you have to lie to them to get them to do the truth. Isn't that amazing? So as a result, I'll tell you the truth, and then you have to do wrong with the truth, because the only way for you to do right is to tell you a lie. You're contrary, reverse psychology. How many times do people say, well, it isn't what she said, it's how she said it? What does that have to do? It says, please jump off the Grand Canyon. Please. Well, no, you wouldn't jump off, no matter how much they begged you. But if someone comes and says, jump off that damn bridge right now, you stupid fool, you're going to jump off? No. Well, then how come you tell me when someone comes and tells you to do right, but in a wrong way, then that means you have to do wrong, to do just the opposite. See, it doesn't follow logically. It's because you have a contrary mind. Contrary means opposite in nature, opposite in order, and opposite in direction. Now, it doesn't take a genius to figure out if you have a contrary mind. You know how God built your body to work, and you know as well as I do, it doesn't work that way, does it? So you see, you're opposite to your own nature. You're opposite to the order of your own physical being. Contrary means to be inclined to oppose or disagree stubbornly with anything or everything. A habitual disinclination to accept orders or advice. You know what amazes me? People say, well, I want to be my own boss. I don't want no one making my decision for me. I don't want to be told what to do, which is what you used at home to be the pig we were. Amen. We were pigs growing up. And the way we justify it is we don't want to be told what to do. So along comes the Lord Jesus Christ, only giving you advice, and only after you asked. And you say, I don't want to do that either. Well, it appears to me that you have a disinclination to accept either orders or advice. What amazes me is why you still ask. Okay, now let's get into this. That's the froward part. That's the what it is. Now I'm going to tell you who's in there. It opens the door for the strange. Yeah? You're strange. We as human beings are strange, but only because we're froward. Strange from the Hebrew means to be a foreigner, to come from another place, to be profane, to come from another man. Now, this is talking now about a Christian who belongs to Jesus Christ. Now, everything that we get in our lives, we ask Jesus for. It's supposed to come from Jesus. It's supposed to also come through a man. So whatever comes from Jesus to you is supposed to come through me. And some of you would say, oh, cult. Watch it. Because now, let's look at your wives. Everything that comes from Jesus to the wife is supposed to come through you. Would you like for some of those things to come through another man? Then how come you don't give Jesus Christ the same respect that you expect and demand from your wife? You don't want your wife getting anything else from anybody, much less from Jesus, through anyone but you. And that's right. That's the way it ought to be. The problem with that is you don't make the same luxury. You don't make the same decision. You have no problem getting things from another man other than the man Jesus gave you. However, if your wife got something from another man other than the one Jesus gave him, you'd have a fit, and rightfully so, but hypocritically so. You see, you don't play with the same deck of cards. As a matter of fact, you don't have a full deck. He says, your ways, your customs, your manner, your conversation comes from another man. Now, I was taught that when we became Christians, Jesus came to be inside of us. Now, you just add the sexual, physical overtones here. Now, you cannot just let any stranger into your body and not call yourself and understand what you've become physically. Could it be that you're a spiritual slut? Yeah, exactly. Now, I know that's hard language, but that's what it says. Because the last definition of the word strange means to commit adultery. In other words, to get something from another man. Something you basically need, something you have a right to, but you're getting it from the wrong person. Now, from wrong man, I'm not going to tell you that it should be this one or that one or cute or whatever. The distinction is here is a right man and a wrong man. That's going to be the distinction. One who's a foreigner or one who is not a foreigner. Strange people, in other words. So you see, this is going to share with you in a minute what's happening inside of your body. And this adultery that you commit, this spiritual adultery, then follows that you have to adulterate your body. And to adulterate, you have to be an adulterer. And you can't be an adulterer unless you commit adultery. Now, the minute you commit adultery, you are an adulterer, and there you adulterate. And that's why you eat and drink and you're addicted, and everything that's wrong, you have such a desire, because adulterate means something, to put something inside that doesn't belong. Something that's not pure, something that's not right, something that isn't meant to be there. Now, tobacco smoke is not meant to be in our lungs. We were never built to consume blood and meat. We have no fangs. We have nothing to slash throats with. See, in all of God's creation, the meat eaters have fangs. They have a way to slash. They're strong, and they have claws, and they have ways to kill and hunt those animals. We were never given that. Well, all we have to hunt is lettuce and cabbage and tomatoes and carrots, and they don't run. I know you're out of shape. Amen. But you can't, you don't have to be in very good shape to overtake a carrot. I mean, there just isn't a whole lot to do there. But let me tell you what's happening. You adulterate your body. You then get these cravings for sugars and everything that's wrong for it. And you think you can stop it at that level. No, there's an adulterer inside of you. There's a stranger in there. There's someone in there that doesn't have the right to be there. He's from another world, he's from another way of thinking, from a different sphere than the one you claim as a Christian. He's strange. He's another man, another individual. Strange also means somebody who's on the outside, someone who's of another place, another locality than you are. Now, we know where we're from. We're from the Lord. We know what we're from. See, this individual is someone who's opposite of that. This is the adulterer that gets into you, into your mind first, and then uses your body to commit adultery. Now, I know that you were taught, just like I was, that adultery only means to go out and have a fling with the wrong person. Don't even dream that that is about that much of it. I'll guarantee you, you can go to any bar you want. You can go to any church you want. You can go to any restaurant you want. You can go to any kitchen you want, anywhere you want, and I'll show you 99% of the people committing adultery, adulterating their bodies with wrong things. Well, what does that tell you? If you're adulterating, then you're committing adultery, which means you have to have an adulterer in there. And this guy's strange. Someone on the outside. He's of another place, another locality, an alien within. Have you noticed how all these movies have the same theme? Don't you understand that God is going to see to it that everybody knows this truth? Even if they're not smart enough to come to a church where the truth is being preached, they're going to pay $6.75 or $7 to go sit in some movie where some idiot is out there playing what they think is a movie, and then threaded in there is the truth. There's an alien inside of you, and he's from outer space. He's from a place far away. He's from outside of you. The strange man, he's an alien. Now, let me tell you. Now, remember we talked about train up a child? See, there was an alien inside of your parents who then trained you, and now you have the alien inside of you, which means Satan had to use a strange man, an alien, inside of someone you trusted. See, there's no way that he can send some ghoulish demon with horns and fangs and say, oh, daddy, mommy. That doesn't work. He has to come inside of an individual that you trust. A Trojan horse, if you will. And that's why God said, a man's foes shall be they of his own household. The devil's not going to come through you through some stranger. He's going to come through you through your wife, through your husband, through a strange person who has that strange person inside of them. He has to be a profane man. In other words, you were profaned by a profane man. A man who had a profane man inside of them. That's where your problem started. Well, let's find out what a profane man is. Profane means something that someone, in this case a profane man, it would mean a man not connected with religion or religious matters. That's your profane man. Now, he can be a nice guy. He can be a hard worker, but he's not connected with religion or religious matters. From a spiritual point of view, that makes that person a profane man, one that is not connected with religion or religious matters. Now, be honest with yourself now. In terms of our family here, I only know of one man as a way of life, as a profession, who's not a layman, but who is connected with religion and religious matters, and that's me. Now, we take it home to your families, and ladies, the only person in your house who's a man, who's also connected or should be connected with religion and religious matters, is your husband. It's not your children, and it can't be you because you're not a man. So you see, the profane man is the one not connected with religion or religious matters. So now, this man, and ladies, this is why you have such trouble following your men some of the time, most of the time, or all of the time. I don't know. I'm not going to judge anybody. Because this man is attempting to lead you and himself and the house and make decisions with no connection with religion and religious matters. That makes that person profane, because he's making his decisions based on considerations that have nothing to do with religion or religious matters. The minute that happens, ladies, you know it as well as you're sitting there, there's something inside of you that just doesn't feel right about what's coming from that individual. And then the next thing you'll hear, yeah, if Reuben had said this, don't lie. It isn't that Reuben didn't say it. It is that the profane man in Reuben doesn't speak when we get here. Now, I didn't say there wasn't one in there, and he does do his thing now and then, but I'll guarantee you, when I'm behind this pulpit, that man do not speak. And when you call me on the phone, that man does not speak, because I'm always very careful to quote the scripture and keep it within this. But your rebuttals are always, well, I'm tired, I want to do this, I don't think it's wrong, everybody else does it. Everything but a religious consideration. That means there's a profane man in there talking. A strange man, an alien, an adulterer. One that's going to cause you to commit adultery. One that's going to cause you to desire to have something inside of you that's going to hurt you. Something that's going to be bad for you. And incidentally, and I've said this 1,000 times, it's going to make it 1,001. That woman married a profane man because that's all you were. If you change and she doesn't, she wants to be intimate with a profane man. Someone who makes his decisions based on the curviness of her rear end rather than her worth as a woman. Someone who wants to appeal to you only on physical plane. Someone who's only concerned, she's appealing to that profane man. That's the way she hooked you. She looked at you and she saw your need and then decided, hey, baby, I can do that. So you see, it was profanity appealing to profanity. But then you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and if both of you don't change, you're in for a hard row to hoe. Very hard. And you will think that she's fallen out of love with you. No. No. But the person that was attractive to her in the first place, that profane man, doesn't have a profane man in her anymore to commune with. And that's why you have the physical, sexual, spiritual, social, and marital problems that you're having in your family. You see, what you want is some adultery. And that only worked before you came to the church. And that only works even now in your families when both of you are in agreement on being profane. When the decision is made on to do anything, it doesn't matter what you're going to do, but there's no consideration for the truth. There's no consideration for the religion. There's no consideration for the principles and the creeds that we all say we believe. Then it's a profane person communicating with a profane person, and they are committing adultery using the body, the soul, and the spirit that Jesus Christ died for and paid for, and you're letting it have an affair with somebody else, his enemy. And then, men, you come home and you want all this undying loyalty from your wife and your children. How can they be loyal to you? You are disloyal to yours. You can't start it with your wife and your children. It has to begin with you. See, the problem is there's a profane man in there. And it started with a profane man. And you can tell a profane man because he speaks profanity. And don't tell me that whenever your wife doesn't agree with you, all of a sudden four-letter words start coming. Profanity starts coming, doesn't it? And profanity doesn't just mean four-letter words. It's to talk about someone wrong. And you know, R-U-B-E-N, five. Thank you, Lord, five letters. My name is not a four-letter word. I wish you would keep my name out of your arguments. I didn't do anything to either one of you. I stay out of your business unless you call me. My name is not a four-letter word. Thank you. 5, grace. Now, some might say I look strange, but I'm not. I really am not. Profane means also someone not only someone not connected with religion or religious matters, but a secular person. Now, what does secular mean? It's not necessarily a bad word. Secular means someone who lives in the world, makes his living by things of the world. Doesn't mean necessarily a bad thing, but I look out here, and everyone here, with the exception of me, is secular. Every one of you make your living by working in some worldly kind of endeavor. Worldly doesn't mean bad. Very honest work, but still work of the world. The only non-secular person in this whole room is me. Not because I'm something special, it's just I don't happen to make my living. I don't get paid. I don't eat off any job or anybody out there of any business. I don't manufacture something. I don't fix houses. I don't repair cars. I don't type letters. I don't produce anything that the world can use. That makes me non-secular. You type up a letter, ladies, and it goes somewhere, and something gets shipped, and something gets billed, and somebody gets paid for shipping it, and somebody gets paid for billing it, and somebody uses it. So see, you generate things that make the world go around. I don't. The things that I do have nothing to do with worldly endeavors. So you see, a profane man doesn't necessarily have to end up with profanity. It just means, understand, you started out secular. Now, to make the connection between secular and non-secular, well, obviously, you have to be connected to a non-secular person. Now, that's how you got it messed up in the first place, is with your connections with secular people. They're the ones that taught you to drink and smoke and cuss and fuss and all the habits that you have. You learned them from secular people. Now, if you're going to learn spiritual things, you have to learn them from non-secular people. That's just as simple as it gets. Why can you not understand that it took a secular person to teach you wrong, but you refuse to accept that it takes a non-secular person to teach you right? You didn't learn wrong by yourself. Do you ever remember way back when someone says, hey, buddy, you want to take a smoke out? You want to toke on this? Please, don't tell me what that is. Don't even discuss it with me. I want to do my own research. I want to make my own decision. Don't poison my mind with your attitude or your opinions about that cigarette, that marijuana cigarette. Psh, are you kidding me? You burned your eyelashes, lighten it up. You could hardly wait. You singed your eyebrows. I didn't see you going off to some library to research the effects on the internal system. I didn't see you then saying the kind of crap you give me. Oh, hold on. I want to make my own decision. No, thank you. I don't want to be told. I don't want to be running to somebody for everything. Hell, you ran right away and you lit it up, and good thing you weren't a woman or your hair would have gone up in smoke. You could hardly wait. But look at the kind of person that it took. Now, all of those things you learned, somebody taught you. And think back, was it a non-secular person that taught you all those things? You'd be lying if you said it was. It was a secular person, a strange man. Someone on the outside, someone that wasn't on the inside with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you have the difficulties that you have. See, your wives are pretty good liars because, see, they're profane too. But I'll tell you someone that you can't fool on your best day, and that's your children. They know a secular from a non-secular just like that. And you know what, I really respect, and I thank God for the children. Because you see, in all of your anxiety to lie, the children come to counseling and say, hey man, we're screwed up in our house. They grab this pup and they say, oh, it's your dad, my dad's a turtle, and my mother's stupid. And I mean, they put it right on the line. And no, it's puppets, of course. They don't say mom and dad. It's this puppet and that puppet, and we know what's going on. And so do you. And then all of a sudden, when the children say, oh, my God, the Lord's given us an opportunity. Maybe I can help my parents. I'll preach. They won't listen to the preacher. They won't listen. I'll preach to them. And all of a sudden, all of you well-meaning but profane, strange people start getting amnesia. Oh, my God, was it counseling today? It has been counseling on that day ever since we began. Oh, I forgot. Oh, forgot. It's a wonder you don't have long ears like that goofy dog. I mean, oh, forgot. You even sound that way. It's dumb. However, isn't it amazing? When something's going on in your life and you think you're right, shouldn't we be counseling about this? Amen, brother. We should be counseling because I think I'm right. Because you see, you're going to come and you're going to lie in your teeth. But the children come very, very honest. But I'll tell you where I start worrying. And we have a condition like that when the children start coming and saying, everything's fine. Nothing's wrong. Everything's great. And then they start crying. And grab a puppet and start crying for no reason. What's wrong? Nothing. Everything. Oh, yes, everything's wonderful. What are the children saying? I have to be just like them. I tried and it doesn't work. So they become profane just like you. Profane not only means secular, but it means one who shows disrespect or contempt for sacred things. Now let me tell you something right now. You think I'm going to preach about the church and the church services, sacred things? Yes, they're sacred, but there's something sacred long before that. Something that you show disrespect and contempt for every day. Your body. You as an individual. You're a sacred thing to Jesus Christ. And you put junk in it without even a thought. You let junk come out of it without even a thought. You show disrespect and contempt for sacred things. You see, I don't worry about how you treat the church. I don't worry about how you treat the services. I don't even worry about that stupid basket. It's a necessary thing, but I don't worry about it. Because you see, if you don't treat the building, the wood, with respect, and you don't treat me with respect, and you don't treat each other with respect, what's the underlying problem? You have no respect for you. You're a sacred thing, but see, inside of you there's this profane person, this angry person, that only comes out and goes to sleep and tries to take you with it here in the service. And you say, oh, yes, brother, yes. And sometimes the minute after the service is over, you're fighting and squabbling with each other again over anything and everything. At least the kids will come up and they'll be honest. And if the kids are going to fight, they'll fight and that's it. But I see, we just got through with the service. And the bickering and the backbiting and the sparring around and the shadow boxing. And we just got through with the service. You have no respect. And you show contempt for sacred things. You know, if you really think about it, if you can't get along in this, your family, where in the hell are you ever going to succeed? The answer is nowhere. Profane means irreverent. Profane means to put yourself to improper use, to put others to improper use, to put everything to improper use. Well, why? Because you're irreverent. Now, let me tell you why you're irreverent. The basic sense of irreverent, and that's when you adulterate your body, when you cut Jesus out of your decisions, when you make decisions without any consideration other than for your own pleasure, for what you want, you are irreverent. Well, what does irreverent mean? It means to be without a reverend. The basic sense of irreverent means to have no reverend. You see, you got to understand something. You're having the identical same problem that the Jews had in the wilderness. They couldn't stand Moses. And because of that, they cut themselves off from God. Oh, isn't that awful? Well, when Jesus comes, I won't be that way. Jesus did come. And they crucified him. At least they waited for Moses to die a natural death. Yeah. Jesus they crucified. You think that profane man in you, once you stand before God, is going to say, oh, Jesus, I'm so happy to see you. No way. No way. That's why it's so sad that you're going to have to die before you see Jesus. Because dying is the only way to get rid of your body where the profane man lives. Now, that's sad, and that's the only way you can see the truth. Understand what I'm telling you. You can't see the truth unless you die. Now, someone will say, well, does that mean you're saying I'm going to physically die? Remember what death means? It means to become depressed, to become obsolete, to not work right, to lose your resiliency, to be depressed, to be lethargic, to be death-like, semi-comatose, lazy, lacking energy. There was so many definitions of death. Only one definition meant the loss of physical life. All the rest of them were conditions leading up to the loss of physical life. So you see, the problem is you do not see the truth until you've lost your job, you've lost your business, you've lost your wife, you've lost your health, one of the kids is sick, something is definitely wrong, something is dead or dying, and then you see the truth. What's wrong? There's a profane man living inside of you, an alien. There's adultery going on. And you only come looking for help when that thing that you wanted to keep alive is dead. And then once it's dead, then you see the truth. But see, that's spiritually what's going to happen. So many Christians do not see the truth now. They don't see Jesus because they're so in tune with their own life. It's not fun. I want fun. I want something that's fun. Well, what you want is pleasure. What you want is pleasure. Look at verse 17 of chapter 21. I just thought of this. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. So that's talking about people that want to have fun. And people that want to eat and drink whatever the hell they want. Well, here's what's going to happen. For those of you that want to have fun, you're going to be poor. And he that loves wine and oil shall not be rich. Well, you would think that's kind of a contradiction. If you're poor, then, wait a minute, if you're not rich, then you're automatically poor. No. I'm going to tell you the difference between a poor man and a rich man. A rich man is someone that has things and can't enjoy them. A poor man was one that doesn't have anything, but wouldn't enjoy it anyway if he had it. Now, what is that? He that loveth pleasure, doesn't matter when you were up or down, doesn't matter how much money you make, you never had enough. Doesn't matter how many jobs you had. Why? Because you love pleasure. See, it's that profane man inside of you that's telling you everything that doesn't make us feel good is no good. And that's profanity. And what's the problem? Lack of a reverend. And what is reverend? It's the title of a clergyman. You can look through all of biblical history and you can see no human being, no class of human beings was ever blessed by God unless they followed the man that he put in front of them. Now, 6,000 years of recorded history, 40 authors, 40 in 6,000 years. 40 men that God used in 6,000 years to write this Bible. What makes you think you can find one on any corner? Ladies, you think you can find a husband anywhere? You can find a man anywhere? You can find a male anywhere? But to find a husband, you're going to have to wait until God has something to do with it, or you're going to find a pig who just wants to snort in bed with you like, and that's all he wants. He just wants the trough. Understand that. I don't care how you feel about this. Don't allow yourself to be drawn down to the level of a pig where no one will see you for anything other than a place to relieve themselves, to get some pleasure out of you temporarily. God intended a heck of a lot more than that for you. But the sad part about it is we have families in this room right now who, unless you cater to all his pleasures, you're in trouble. the profane man in there. Now, some would say, oh, gee, Rube, lighten up, man. The church is empty enough as it is. Lighten up hell? Why should I? This is the only thing that's going to help us. This is the only thing that's going to do us any good. You're irreverent. You have a lack of a reverend. Well, if you lack a reverend, it's because you have an alien. Alien. Now, this is strange. Now, this is that strange man that you commit adultery with. Alien. Someone belonging to another country, another people, another custom, another way. As a Christian, you get hooked up with someone who doesn't believe these principles, and you are committing adultery with an alien. I don't care how much he says he loves you. I don't care how much he works. I don't care how much he does. He's outside of the country. He's not of our own. Belongs to another country, another people, another custom. So what happens when it's time to go to church on Sunday, he's going to be nursing a hangover. Why? Because he belongs to another country. It's another thing. It's another way of living. Now, you're going to have to live in one country or the other. Now, I'll tell you what happens. If you don't like America, all you have to do is renounce your citizenship, and then you can go to whoever would have you. But you can't hold it in both places. You got to have one or the other. You're either an alien here or you're an alien there. Here's the sad part about it. Are you an alien? Even though you're a Christian, is there an alien inside of you in the body of Christ? Well, let's find out what an alien is. Alien means a foreign-born resident in a country who has not become a naturalized citizen and therefore has no civil rights, no vote, no power. Now, are you living in Christendom, in this country, this state that we call Christianity, but your prayers have no effect? You say you're going to stop doing something and you can't. You say you're going to start doing something and you can't. Well, what is the problem? You're an alien. And it's not that you're an alien. You have an alien inside of you. And this alien has no rights. He has no power. Now, all you have to do is get rid of that son of a gun. And you will see how your prayers then will have power. And what you say will work. But you can't. You can't go and vote in a country where you don't belong, where you're an alien. So therefore, they cannot come and vote in our country where they can speak, but they can't vote. And that's why you have no power over your life. And then you tell your kids, hey, I'm the boss. And you say, you're an alien, man. You're wetback. What are you doing here? This is your card. Well, why is it that your children will not do what you tell them, but I can see them across the courtyard and point and say, hey, over there, and they're gone. How come? Is it me? Not on your life. Do I not have an alien? Yeah, I just didn't have one that time. Alien means an outsider. Alien means it's a term that's applied to a resident of one country who still holds allegiance to another country. There's your alien right now. You physically live here. You physically come here. You physically amen here. You physically hallelujah here. Mate, I'm just here to tell you why it's that way. I'm trying to tell you, you cannot have this alien inside of you and not end up being alienated. See, if you have an alien, it means you will alienate. You will be alienated and you will alienate. Now, some people say, I don't understand why I can't get along with you. I can't keep friendships. I can't do this. And I get a job and then I don't want it. I start this and it turns out bad. Why do you alienate people? Why do you alienate? Because you have an alien inside of you. And an alien alienates. Alienate means to transfer the ownership of property from one person to another. You are the property of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you let this alien in, he alienates you and transfers your allegiance from what's right to what feels good, to what gives pleasure, instead of what gives substance. Well, there's an alien alienating. Well, some would say, well, yeah, but what are you going to do about that? And you don't seem to care. Well, this alien will alienate the affections of your wife and of your children toward you. This will alienate you against you. And that's why you get depressed. That's why you're critical of yourself. That's why you look in the mirror and you say, oh, how ugly. Only time you ever tell the truth, but you end up getting depressed over the truth. Why? Because the alien is alienating. And there comes a time when you, be honest now, you don't want to hear any more truth. You just don't want to go to church. The hell with it all. What good is it? Well, to the alien, no good. Absolutely. What has happened? He has succeeded in alienating you. Well, the alien alienates. Alienate means to cause you to become unfriendly. Remember that sweet person with a nice, pretty dress and a little tiny bouquet of flowers who walked down the aisle as you were sitting there with your suit and tie, and she's just beaming at you, and you could have done it. She'd follow you anywhere. This is the same person that has trouble heating your soup now. Pray tell, has she become unfriendly? Yes. She's become alienated. Now, this poor soul, my heart goes out to all of you women, because you think, you've been pressured into thinking you are alienated because of something you did. You are alienated because you've allowed an alien in. And the reason you've allowed an alien in is because your husband allowed an alien in. Or your husband is not profane, and he doesn't want to play tag with your alien. And you don't want to turn loose of yours. So you see, it could be any one of those combinations, but they all cause you to alienate, which means to cause you to become unfriendly. Alienate means to cause you to withdraw from your own society, from your own circle of friends. You withdraw from your children. You don't want to get up. You don't want to change them. You don't want to dress them. You kind of just like wish they would just disappear for a while. Let's just put them outside. Maybe outside something will happen, and they're outside and I'm inside. You just want to withdraw from your society. If just people would just go away and let you be depressed and let you be all by yourself with all your pity and all your garbage, that you've been alienated. But you've been alienated by the alien, that profane person who has nothing to do with religion. He's a secular individual that the enemy uses to get all the wrong habits in you. Well, now you have been alienated. You are now withdrawn from your own society. You now have problems. And isn't it amazing? Can't get along with your wife, can't get along with your kids, can't get along with your pastor, can't get along with your church. And then you go out there to work, and the worst jerks of all, them you have a good time with. Them you can get along with. Well, let's go here, and let's go there, and let's do with all of them. You can spend 8 hours a day with them, 5 days a week. But an hour here is more than you can stand with one another. Something is wrong. Your affection has been alienated. Alienate means to cause a transference of affection. And here's what happens. You have so much love for God. When he first saved you, remember how you loved him? Remember how you could just hardly wait to hear more truth? What a love you had for the truth. You haven't lost your love. You haven't lost your affection. It's been transferred to someone else. Alienation of affection means to cause you to transfer your affection from where it belongs to where it shouldn't be. Now, the individual that has the need to have affection, how can you blame them? I want a husband who leads me. I want a husband that I can talk to. I want someone that'll help me not bite my head off just because I don't happen to be perfect. I want a husband that I can say something to and he gives me the answer, not makes the problem worse. You have that affection. Now, when that individual will not do that because he has a profane person in him, then you still have all this love and it just transfers to whoever will treat you right.
Now, in the world, you know who that's going to be. The first bar you walk into, someone's going to come up to you and flatter the heck out of you. And that's going to be the first good words, the first complimentary, even though they're lies, it's going to be the first thing you've heard in God knows how long. And all of a sudden, the women become like putty. They're just falling all over like a little puppy. They're just running, rolling all over, and their tongue, ha, 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 tell me more, and their tail is wagging 100 miles an hour. Oh, you're beautiful, you're wonderful. If you'd have gotten there 15 minutes earlier, you'd have heard him giving the same line to somebody else who had the good sense to say, buzz off, creep. So you have an alien. Your affection has been transferred. You have all this love. You've discovered all this love. You've discovered how right you are to want those things. You've discovered how right it is to feel so alive, so vigorous, and so willing to share yourself. And this creep doesn't want to do it. So then the enemy comes in and just transfers that affection. You're in love with your cigarettes. You're in love with your alcohol. You're in love with food. There are people here. You can go to bed at night with a salami and say, oh, yes, I love you, sweetheart. I just love you. It's the same love affair. It's food. You can't think right unless you're intoxicated with food or whatever your trip is. There's an alien in there, and it's alienated you. And finally, what it causes is alienation. All men, all human beings suffer from alienation. This is what God says. Without a reverend, without someone between you and God that God put there so that he could get his two cents in. Now, no one said you don't have the right to listen to as many or whoever you want. God says, just give me one way to get my two cents. Let me get my farthing in there. If not, in the absence of that, you have the condition known as alienation. An alien alienates, and now you have alienation. What is alienation? Mental derangement and insanity. This is the person you're trusting to make your decisions. This is the person that you consult when it's time to make a big purchase of some kind. When you're going to make decisions on your career, on your life, on your health, on the training of your children, you consult a person who's mentally deranged and insane. Now that's the ultimate insanity. You lack a reverend. You have mental derangement. Derangement means to mentally upset. Mental derangement means to mentally upset the arrangement, the order, and the operations of facts. Mental derangement. You come to me and say, okay, she said this, and I said that, and she was wrong, and she caused this. And this happened, and it's all her fault because she started it. I tried to do right. She said this. I didn't say that. And we ended up with these results. And that's the truth. That's only half the truth. All of those things did happen, but not in that order. You have it mentally deranged. You started it. How do I know that? Because you're the one that has the effect. You're the one that's acting insane now. See, you cannot take the circumstances and obliterate them. So all you do is you just rearrange them. Everywhere where it looks good, I did that. And everywhere somebody did something bad, they did that. That's insanity. You think you're Napoleon. You're still attacking. Waterloo is around the corner for you, though. You're mentally deranged. And finally, it ends up, this is what God said. The way of man, his customs are insanity. Insanity finally means mental illness, unsoundness of mind that makes a person incapable of normal, rational conduct. That's the person that you're trusting. That's the individual. And look, in all of that, God said, look, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with that individual. You see, when a person takes drugs, an overdose, what they try to do is stabilize the individual, keep them alive, get as much of that junk out of them as they can by pumping the stomach, whatever, and then just stabilize the individual so that their own system can process and get rid of it and keep them alive in the process. Which tells you what? There was never anything wrong with that person's body to begin with. Something was put inside of there that was alien, that was wrong, and now we have to stabilize the individual, until that stuff passes through and not lose them in the process, and then they're going to be all right, which meant their body was fine to begin with. So what am I saying here? There's nothing wrong with you. I'm talking against that alien, that training that you receive, that you still do just like your mama does. You're living her life all over again. The way she dealt with men, you deal with men. The kind of men she attracted, you attract. The way she attracted them, you attract them. The end result of how they ended up treating her is the way they treat you. They didn't do anything good for her, but just used her to relieve themselves as a pleasure machine. And then that's how you're being used now. And you turn around and you say, oh, it must be men. No, it's alien men. There's something, and you say, well, what's the answer? Well, you see, it takes an alien to attract an alien because they speak the same language. There's only one way that you're going to solve this. There has to be a change in you. And what is the change? If you stop putting the wrong in, what's already in there will be processed through the natural processes, and you will be clean. Why do you think doctors will even tell you, fast? Why do you think it is when your body gets physically sick? What's the first thing? What's the first reaction of your body? The natural reaction of your body. Your body's smarter than you are. When you get sick, what's the first thing? You lose your appetite. And you have a desire to drink water. And you don't want to eat anything. Why? Because that's what caused your problem. You eat garbage. If I pull down your pants, you probably have a curly tail. You're a pig. You eat things that no one else wants. You eat what used to be thrown away. You eat the slop, the garbage. Oh, brother, how can you say that? I'll take you to any plant. Hot dogs. Everything that normally went to the pigs. They used to throw it away. Now they grind it all up and sell it to you as a hot dog. Hamburger, junk, trash, things they used to throw away, parts, you now eat. You like to eat toenails. Toenails, yes. What do you think hooves are? Hoofs of an animal are their toenails. They grow just like nails. That's why they have to file them. So what do? They take these hooves, these toenails, and barrel them. And then you come out and say, oh, J-E-L-L-O. You're a pig. What if someone, if I told you, let's go to Sizzler, free, right in the middle of the place, they got a bunch of horses' hooves. Just throw them there, right there, and we can have all we want. How many of you would run? But you see people, how they do with the jello over there? They're eating toenails. That makes you a pig. See, those are things that get thrown away. They don't throw anything away anymore. Whatever's left, grind it up and make it look like what it isn't, make it look like nothing, and somebody will eat it. Everywhere there's this mentality. Sawdust, you take sawdust now, don't throw it away. Just put it somewhere and throw some glue in there and press it all and sell it to someone and tell them, I'm selling you a board. They're selling you dust. Trash, stuff they used to just throw away. Well, they found a way now. They know that there's pigs that want to do that. Oh, we just put a coat of paint on it. Who's going to know? I'm going to know. That's who. You see, what you need to understand is this mentality, this alien inside of you is making you satisfied with less than what God intended for you. And that's the person that God says, you're crazy. You're insane to trust an insane person to make your decision. I'm not going to even start with pure tonight. But Sunday, you're going to find out how the pure works. And you're going to find out what the pure is. And more importantly, you're going to find out how pure happens. It has the connotation of a filter. Something to filter out. In other words, someone that you run something through and what's left is for you. Something that you run something through and they filter out everything that's wrong and get rid of it. In other words, the way to make something pure is to filter it. You lack a filter. Oh, but if they stick one on the end of your stupid cigarette so that it takes 20 years to kill you instead of 18.5, those filters you love. See, I'm a filter. That's my only job here. My job is to filter this. See, we can't just take this and say, here, open your mouth. Here, this is all yours now. Eat that. No, what I have to do, I sit at my desk hours upon hours upon hours, going through word after word, sentence after sentence, dictionary definition after dictionary definition, and filter it all down to this condensed version, what you actually needed, a prescription exactly for you, but you don't like the filter. I could even understand that if I see you go home and say, I'm going to get it for myself. But I said so many times, I put a $100 bill right in the middle of your Bible, and it's safer there than in Fort Knox. You don't want the filter. So as a result, you take it all straight, don't you? And God intended, he said, look, you have nostrils that filter out. You have mucous membranes that filter out the impurities of the air. We have filters inside of your stomach, in your colon, your kidneys. Those are filters. They take the impurity out and put the rest. Filters. You're supposed to have eyes and ears that filter out the right by knowing and recognizing what's right. But you don't understand the principle of filters. Why? Because you've already disregarded the first and primary filter, the one that God put in your life to filter this out. Then it goes in your family, and they don't recognize you as a filter. Then your wife has the same problem with the kids, and everybody has to take it straight. See what happens? You have to eat 10,000 pounds to get the nutrition that you... What if we had to do that way? What if we had to eat physically the way we do it this way? We say, no, I don't want it filtered down. Do you know how much you would have to eat? Do you know what you'd have to do without filters? I'll tell you what you'd have to do. First thing in the morning, or you'd starve to death, you'd all have to go out and buy some seed. And we'd have to go find some ground somewhere. And you'd have to plant it and water it. And have some way to sustain yourself until that food grows. Then you'd have to harvest it and eat it right there. But we've got filters. We've got people that do that for us. So all we have to go to the store, and you have it already even packaged for you. You understand that principle. You would never say, hey, no way I'm going to have my family fed this way. I'm going to go out in the range and kill my own doggie. Come here, little doggie. I'm going to go get my own. Don't lie. You're such a wuss. Well, you go and you just have to have it all packaged already. See, somebody filtered it all for you. Someone already did the hard work. And that's good. That's the way it ought to be. I don't understand why you don't give God the same capability. He says, you don't have to go out and try to figure all this yourself, make all these mistakes yourself, do all this stupidity yourself. Let the man filter it down for you. So all you have to do is just take what you actually need. Let him work it out. That's your filter. That's your reverent. Don't be irreverent. Don't be an alien. Don't be strange. Don't cut God out of all of your decisions. Make whatever decision you want, but I'll tell you one thing. You put God in your decision, you won't make many wrong ones. And sooner or later, you won't make any at all. And therein lies the tale. You still want to make some wrong ones. But even that's okay. Let's just be honest about it. Brother Weldon, would you close the service in prayer?